Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning, everybody. One of the things I think is important for all of us to know is that we're all sent. Yep. We've all been sent. Every single one of us has been sent. And the thing that I think is so exciting about my friends, the Lucases, is they have been saying yes to Jesus' sending for a long time. And I know them. They've been saying yes to the little promptings, the little small whispers of the Spirit for a long time. They've been saying yes. They said yes to sponsor us when we were missionaries, when they didn't have a lot of money. They said yes. And they said yes to be kind to their neighbors. It isn't that they just woke up one day and were like, we're going to give it all up and move to Spain. They've been saying yes. Yes, in lots of small ways. And it's been building to a bigger yes and a bigger yes and a bigger yes. And so I don't want you to think that these guys, they're awesome and fantastic. They didn't just roll out of bed and say, this is what we're going to do now. This sounds great. They actually build like this rapport. They built this history with the Lord where saying yes to go to Spain didn't seem like that big of an idea as it would have 10 years ago. And that's what it's like when you build a relationship with God. Is it, at the beginning, it sounds like the things God might be calling you to sound just crazy. It may be just be kind to your neighbor. It may be something small that you can really do today for free. And as your relationship and your rapport builds with God, all of a sudden the bigger things he invites you to, they don't freak you out anymore. You know that God has been faithful in the past in every single way. So he will surely be faithful in the future. And so it's super exciting to see it, to see someone be brave and to see someone be bold. And our God is a missionary God. Our God is a God that sends. He always has. And by nature, you are outgoing, right? Some of you are. By nature, some of you are shy. By nature, some of you are optimistic all the time, and you annoy me. But by nature, some of you are optimistic. Some of you, by nature, you're always negative. By nature, some people are clean. By nature, some people are messy. Well, by nature, God is something so profound and it impacts all of us. By nature, our God is a sending God. It's just what he does. And if you read from Genesis chapter 12 all the way through Revelation chapter 20, so from Genesis 12 all the way through the rest of the Bible, you see over and over again, if you're looking for it, God sending people. He's always sending people. He sent Moses, he sent Abraham, he sent Joshua, he sent Jacob, he sent the Israelites, he sent the prophets. He sent Jesus. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the apostles. He sent the disciples. He sent the 72. And Jesus said in his own words, just as the Father sent me, so I send you. He sends us too. We're all sent people. And as a church, so if God is a sending God and his church wants to reflect his priorities, then by nature, our church ought to be a sending church too. And we've experienced like so much growth and new people coming in, and it's super exciting getting to know new people and their stories, and a growing church is a healthy church, and it's all fun and fantastic, and we celebrate it. We really celebrate it when new people join our church, and that's really fun and exciting for all of us. But at the same volume, at the same intensity, we should celebrate that God is sending people. Because when we participate with God sending people out into the missions field, out into the world, we're actually functioning more and more like the nature of our Father. We're actually doing God's business when we send people to a greater degree than when we are hoarding people. Am I saying something okay? So it's more like God to send than to hoard and to keep. Today, I'm wearing my TED Talk glasses, so you're going to get a brief sermon. I actually listened to a podcast this week, and the podcast was How to Preach Not Using Your Notes. And I listened, and I'm going to try, okay? You ready? So exciting. So usually my notes have about 2,000, 3,000 words to them, and today I have a piece of paper with a couple scripture references. So if things get shaky, I'll open up the iPad, okay, and we'll go from there. By nature, God is ascending God. Can you grab a Bible in the seat back in front of you? I'm actually going to need one too. Can you turn with me to 1 John? It's towards the end of the Bible there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. It is on page 592 for all y'all. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, okay? It says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." This is where it gets good. "In this, the glory of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins." Our God is ascending God, and this is just the one of the things he does. By nature, he sends us. When I think about my life and my journey, I became aware that my life was a mess. Were you there? Did you ever come to that epiphany in life where you're like, my life is just a disaster. This is just not working out as planned. And you probably came to a moment where you bumped into God in some way, or you bumped into somebody who introduced you to God. And all of a sudden, your life started to make a little more sense. You started to find what you didn't understand about your identity and purpose all of a sudden started to resonate when you encountered God. At least that's what it was like for me. And then from there, as my relationship with God drew deeper and my relationship with God grew wider, I started to kind of get drawn back into who God was. And God draws us back into deeper intimacy and deeper knowledge of who he is for a purpose. It's because God wants to draw us back in order to send us. God doesn't just draw us back to absorb us and hide us from the world. That doesn't make any sense. Our God is a missionary God. Our God is a God who is in heaven and saw broken humanity and says, I got to do something. So he pulled back and he released his Son into the world, Jesus, so that we could be rescued. Our God is always mindful of reaching into the broken world to rescue and redeem us and to clean us up. And God cleans us up and then he launches us back out into the world. Think of it like a tin can or something, a tin can that you drink out of and then you recycle it. It gets crushed and it gets repurposed into something else. And it comes back into the world in a different shape and a different form for a different purpose. That's your story too. You came into this world and you thought you had a purpose. You got crushed, broken, and abused. You got recycled and redeemed and renewed and repurposed to live in a whole new reality to serve a whole new kingdom, a new purpose. That's my story. Totally. I am that tin can. When I keep thinking about God sending us, I think of a bow and an arrow. And so I went to Amazon, did a little shopping for myself. I have a little suction cup arrow. These are really cool. Check this out. All by itself, this doesn't have a whole lot of a purpose, right? I mean, I can like throw it at you, I guess. I can't throw that hard, but all by itself, this is just like an arrow and it's like a paperweight. I mean, it doesn't have a whole lot of purpose in and of itself. And my life in and of itself doesn't seem to have a lot of purpose either. I'm just kind of getting through life. But the thing about an arrow and the thing about a bow is that they were made to function together. To be together. They're created to work together for a purpose. And so when our lives and our limited purpose comes to meet the potential that is found in God, all of a sudden things were made to come together. And you find your purpose and identity that you were made to belong to something important and significant. And as your relationship with God comes and you are this person with singular purpose and kind of alone in the world, and as you come and you meet what you were created to be in partnership with, all of a sudden you start to have purpose, right? This starts to make a little more sense. Oh, it's a bow and arrow. They belong together. And then what happens is the arrow must get pulled back and embrace the tension of life. And this is what I think about discipleship. I think of my life growing deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God for a purpose. Now, God doesn't want you just to go deeper in wisdom and understanding and knowledge of who he is, just to be wise and just hold in this tension. The reason we grow deeper in our relationship with God is because God wants to pull us back and grow in our faith and our trust so that someday, at some time, we get launched into everything he has for us. And so the purpose of your life isn't just to be safe all the time and just be cozy with God. Some of what God wants to do in you, and you feel this a little bit in your life right now, God has great things for me, and I found him in relationship with him. And as God is wooing me closer to himself, as God is drawing my heart closer to his heart, as I am building rapport and history with him, all of a sudden I feel this tension in my life. And it's a tension we should embrace. See, a lot of us, we don't like tension. So this is what happens to you. You have an encounter with God and you feel the tension of encountering a holy and perfect God. And that can be weird for a lot of us. When I realize how holy and how perfect God is, and I realize how broken and jacked up and messed up I am, I feel like I want to run away from him. That's the temptation when the tension rises in our life, in our relationship with God and us. But we have to embrace the tension and say, God, this issue, this sermon, this song, whatever it is, has brought tension into my life. And instead of running from that tension, I'm going to embrace that tension. I'm going to say, Lord, what do you want to teach me right now? I feel uncomfortable. This is out of my comfort zone. But I'm going to embrace the fact that I trust you, and this tension serves a purpose. See, some of you feel like God isn't launching you, isn't sending you. It's because you're not embracing the tension that he has given to you. And I want God to draw my life back so deep into who he is, because I want to launch further and farther than I could have ever dreamt of or ever imagined. My purpose has been found in my relationship with God. He is the power. He is the source. He's everything I need. I trust him. I know that he has good things for me. His promises are, we sang it, yes and amen. Imagine what your life could look like if you allowed God to draw you a little bit deeper. The degree to which your life will have influence is really the degree to which you'll allow your roots to grow deeper in him. I think life is hard. And I think the challenges you guys face, they're pretty crazy. They're pretty wild. And some of us have family stuff going on that would just rock your world, and it's ready for daytime television. And some of us have, you got marriages and you're holding off. I mean, I know marriages. And I know marriages that are just, Lord, just help us get these kids out of the house. You know, because you're holding on. You're holding on for the sake of the kids, right? I know some of you don't like your job. There's so many things going on in your world that you seem out of control with. The key here is, will you embrace the tension of what God wants to teach you in the middle of your mess? Will you, in the middle of your tension, allow yourself to draw deeper into the things of God? Because that tension is either going to repulse you from him, or you're going to be inspired right now. I'm going to let God draw me deeper. I don't get why my spouse is a punk. I don't get why my kids are crazy. I don't get why I don't have any money. I don't understand. And it's either going to offend you, or it's going to draw you in. I want to encourage you, if you want to live the sent life that God has for you, you've got to embrace the tension. Allow it to draw you in. My marriage is a disaster. Don't take your frustration out on your spouse. Just take it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. This is a wreck. I need you. And he's a good father who runs to the cries of his children every single time. Every good parent does that. I mean, if Polly cried right now, I could hear her all the way over there. A father has an ear for the cry of its child. And God has an ear just like that for you. Your cry is unique to him. And he hears it and he responds quickly and promptly and powerfully. So my encouragement to us today, and look, I stayed off my notes. My encouragement today is this. I want, every time you see a bow and arrow, I want you to be reminded that God is inviting you to draw deeper into who he is for the purpose of sending you out to do great things. Every time you see a bow and arrow, I want you to be just reminded that God has something for your life in partnership with his power that can affect and change anything. When Jesus is sitting with the disciples, he's having this conversation with them, and he tells them these profound words. And I think these are words not just to the disciples. I think they're all words for us. This is the marching orders for our lives. In John chapter 20, he says this. He says, Jesus says to them, says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. part of living the sent life that God has for us is having an encounter with the living God and his Holy Spirit. The power you need to live the sent life that God has for you must be fueled by something bigger than this earth already provides, right? Because we're talking about a dream that's bigger than anything you could dream of. So you need to have a power source that's bigger than anything this earth can provide. So if you want to accomplish the dream that is in your heart, that God has planted in your heart, you got to tap into a brand new power source. 120 volt won't work anymore for the dreams that God has put inside of you. So you've got to tap into a power source that's bigger. And thankfully, God knew this and he sent his Holy Spirit to be the power, be the comfort, to be the counselor that we need to achieve the dreams that God has for each of your lives. We're going to be sending off the Lucases in a couple weeks, and that's going to be sad. But I believe that we're all sent people. You don't have to wait to raise $10,000 to move to Spain to function as a sent person. You can start functioning like a sent person today. We are all on mission for Jesus on this earth. That's why God has wooed you. That's why God has drawn you in, is because he's sending you. I think there's people in our lives that we're all sent to. I'm looking at Michael Ashman. He is loving people every week out in our community. I think of people like Tim James, who has a homeless ministry where he's feeding people in the South Bay once a week. I think about all the things happening out of the thrift store. There are people being loved graciously through everybody here in our church, and we're all mindful of it. I'm telling you, you won't experience those stories if you don't live like a sent person. God is building his kingdom, and he's using us. He's building his kingdom, and you are the workforce. Can the band come up really quick? Will you stand with me? I was thinking that we've gone to lots of graduation parties lately, right? We have lots of people graduating. And a graduation is really kind of a commissioning to a new season of life. And I feel like I want to have a graduation for us today. I want us to graduate in our thinking that God has sent us to, that there is something that God has for us, that there's an end of a chapter of your life and there's a new chapter beginning, that you are to function as a sent person, that you are a missionary sent into the world, bringing the goodness of God wherever you go. Whether it be Spain or Inglewood, God is sending you. He's sending all of us. So I want to graduate in my thinking. I want to elevate my thinking. I want to be commissioned to go into the world to do things that God has called me to do. I want you to elevate your thinking, to graduate your thinking, to realize that God has sent you. He sent you to your workplace. He sent you to your school. He sent you to the friends and the family you have, not just to gobble up time before you die, but to bring the presence of God in every place. I'm telling you, if you can't bring the presence of God home, there's no way you're bringing the presence of God to Spain. It's got to start someplace. So God, would you help us to steward your presence as we go through this world? God, we don't just do church here. On Sundays, we celebrate your faithfulness all week long. So God, we come to Sundays, we bring the stories of your faithfulness. God, I pray that we would be commissioned, we would be sent in Jesus' name to proclaim your goodness wherever we go. So God, give us your eyes to see. I pray that some of the blinders would get knocked off, that you would open up our ear canal so that we could hear properly the cry of our city, so that we could bring good news to it. So God, would you just give us your eyes to see broken, hurting people that are desperate for love? God, would you help us to see children the way you see them? Help us to see the politicians the way you see them. Help us to see our bosses, our spouses, our kids, our employees, our friends, our neighbors, the way that you see them. So God, would you equip us, just download in us every good and perfect gift that you have so that we can function in it this week. God, we are your church, we're your people, and God, we believe your kingdom is coming. It's here. So God, we want to serve you this week. So God, we graduate from a life of just participating. We graduate from a life of just observing. And God, we move into a new season of life where we are full and active participant in what you're doing. So Jesus, fuel something new inside of our hearts. And God, as we get ready to move into a new season, and God, will we bless the Lucases, not only with our prayers and our hugs, but God, financially, God, we can't outgive you. God, we can't outgive you. So God, I pray for every person that has felt their heart stirred to give to the Lucases. God, I pray that you would bless them abundantly. And God, as we close this time together, we get to be your church. And real church happens after amen. You know what I'm saying? Real church, real community happens after the last word. So as we close this time, we get to really be the church as we love and care for one another. And thank you, Jesus, for cake. And so God, as we close and we go back to the fellowship hall, we get to celebrate with all of our graduates and all of our kids. So I pray these calories would not count against us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be the church. Be the church.